Well, I had a tremendous blessing this evening already, standing in front of my two Nigerian brothers and hearing them sing those Christmas songs with so much gusto. Especially Mr. T, he's got a strong voice, I tell you. He really enjoys singing, and he has an awful lot to sing about. And all Christians do. Nobody has anything worth singing about like those who are born again through faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed time of the year this is for believers. What a blessed event took place back when our Savior was born and placed in that manger so many years ago that brought hope of salvation to the whole world. I would like to consider just for a few minutes this morning. I'm really jumping ahead here. I think there's an awful lot of alcohol in that cough drop I just took. But this evening, it's just great to come together in the name of our Lord and Savior and to sing His praises, to consider from His Word some of the truths that are so become so evident this time of the year. And we've probably already in this Christmas season heard these verses that I'm about to read at least once, probably more than that. But what a wonderful message is there. I'm looking at Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And you know, it's a fascinating thing to me, and I think it is very significant that God chose to announce the coming of the Savior, the Jewish Messiah, to some shepherds. And you know, you think about the shepherds, they were not powerful people by any means. They were at the bottom of the social ladder. They were not religious leaders. They were probably the commonest of the common people. And they were told good tidings of great joy that will be to all people. And that little word "all" in there just carries so much weight and so much importance. It's good news for the whole world, for all people. And God in His grace and His mercy was doing something that would bless all classes of people. And no one class or group could corner the market on God's blessing. And I appreciate that about the way this wonderful news was presented to the world. Not the powerfully religious, nor the politically powerful received this message. And bless their hearts, the shepherds didn't exploit the news they heard from the angel. They were excited and they told everybody what they heard, and they glorified and they praised God for this tremendous news. And the result of this baby coming into the world and what he would accomplish would be the most significant in the world of religion. Also, the Savior is the King of Kings, and therefore he is the most significant political figure the world has ever seen. And of course, the world does not accept that yet, but I want to tell you, they will. Thank God for humble, common folks like the shepherds that were not affected by religious self-righteousness or political ambition in any way. They recognize the gracious, loving gift from God that the baby in the manger represented. They were not deceived by wealth or position into thinking that they didn't need God. They were living in a hurting world. And they knew that people needed the Lord. And they had just learned that the Lord had come. Their response was, praise God, let's tell everybody about this tremendous news. And so the common people on earth, like these shepherds, recognized that this event on that night was a tremendous thing. But I want you to notice also there's another group here that recognized this as a tremendous thing. Because the scriptures tell us that on that same night, the host of angels expressed the feelings of those who were in heaven as they looked down upon what was taking place. God the Son had descended from the throne of heaven to take a position a little lower than the angels so that He might become a man. And I want to tell you, the host of heaven had never seen such a thing, and the result in heaven was praise and glory to God. The angels were impressed with what God was doing and what the Son of God, the position that the Son of God had taken down on the earth among men. And so the angels looked down on earth and they proclaimed peace, goodwill to men. This could not be anything but good for mankind. And the very host of heaven recognized that this event demonstrated the glory of God in some very special ways. It demonstrated God's love for fallen man and that He gave His only begotten Son that there might be peace between God and man. Now, for the next few minutes, let's consider what the birth of the Savior in those circumstances and at that time teaches us about God the Father. I want to focus tonight on what that baby in the manger teaches us about God the Father. The scriptures tell us that the angels who could see heaven and earth at the same time said it glorified God. And first of all, it demonstrated that God is the sovereign Lord. God is sovereign who is ordering the world according to His purpose. It said that God is involved and that God is aware. God did not just create the world, put mankind down there in it, and then walk away. Absolutely not. God has had a plan and a purpose from the very beginning. As glorious as it was for God to speak everything into existence at the first, what God planned to do afterwards glorifies Him even more. And the angels recognize that. What the baby in the manger went on to do on the cross and in His resurrection, that was no afterthought for God. It was not a knee-jerk reaction to the situation that had just kind of developed in the world after God had placed man there. Christ going to the cross did not represent a defeat. Not in the least. It was the work of God planned before the foundation of the world. And the Almighty, the Sovereign Lord, was in control. The Almighty, gracious, merciful, loving God is still the one in control. And no one else is capable of being in control, for your information. No one else is worthy of being in control. And for the sake of sinful man, there is no one better to be in control. The virgin-born baby in a manger glorifies God because it says very clearly that God is aware, that God cares, that God has a plan, and it will eventually result in peace for man. And so the angels looking down said, glory to God in the highest. God is in control. And secondly, the baby in the manger, lying in that manger beside His virgin mother, also reveals a God of amazing grace and love. A God of amazing grace and love. It was not to a nation or a world of heaven-deserving saints that the baby was given to. Not by any means. God demonstrates His love, the scriptures tell us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was not because God owed us a Savior that Jesus came. Jesus came because God so loved, not because we so deserved. glory to God in the highest. God is gracious to undeserving sinners. And next in the baby manger, or the baby in the manger, says that God can be trusted to keep His word. If God makes a claim, you can believe it's going to come to pass. If God makes a promise, there's no way that He's going to go back on His word. And as we go back, just think for a minute back to Genesis 3:15, that situation that is described for us there at that part of the very first book of the Bible, the Almighty God, the Creator, stands addressing one of His creatures, the fallen angel Satan. And Satan had just worked to introduce sin into the human family, and that sin destroyed the wonderful relationship that man had with the Holy God. God's heart was broken, I'm sure. But as I look at the scriptural account, God was not rocked by this attack from His enemy. As a matter of fact, God was already thousands of years ahead of Satan at this point. Because if you remember those verses there in Genesis, that verse in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, in that conversation that God had with Satan, referring to the virgin-born Savior, God told Satan that the seed of the woman would one day crush the head of Satan. Now, the general of an army would never reveal his battle plans to the commanding officer on the opposite side. Countermeasures would certainly be taken to neutralize the attack if that was the case. But I want to tell you something, folks. If God is your enemy Himself, what defense can there be? You know, the point is, when God declared that Satan's head would be crushed, well, it was as good as done. The birth of the virgin-born baby was the God who cannot lie fulfilling His word. And by the way, the amount of time that passes since God makes His promise does not change God's promise. Circumstances do not defeat God's purposes. No power stands successfully against His declared will. I don't know about you, but that's comforting for me. That's reassuring for me. Glory to God in the highest. God can be trusted to keep His word. And finally, God can be trusted with the future. And looking at some of the things that this church has faced over the last year and some things that are surely coming for us in the year to come, I'm so glad that God can be trusted with tomorrow and with next year and what comes beyond that. Jesus was born. He died and rose again. And you remember how it tells us there in the book of Acts that He ascended back to heaven and there were two angels that, were standing there. And you remember what it was they said? He's going to come back again. We want you to know He's going to come back again. And you're going to see Him come back just like you've seen Him rise up before you visibly, before your eyes. And so the Scripture tells us that one day Jesus will come in the clouds and He's going to call the church out. And that we refer to as the rapture of the church. Believers will be raptured away to be with the Lord, and we will receive new bodies that are designed for heaven, that are designed to walk around in eternity with. We will be, thank God, we'll be rid of this old sinful nature. And we know we're going to have to struggle with it until the Lord comes back and gives us a new body and we get rid of that. And we're going to get rid of that old nature, and we're going to be taken to heaven, and all the troubles on earth are going to be left behind. Thank God He's in control of the future, and He's made some promises that are very reassuring about the future. But then the prophets are very clear that Jesus Christ will return to walk on the earth again. And when He actually comes back that second time to the earth, instead of just coming in the clouds to call the church out, it's going to be total chaos on the world, in the world, towards the end of the tribulation period that the Bible talks so much about, especially in the book of Revelation. Israel, the little nation of Israel, is about to be totally overrun and annihilated by their enemies. But then they're going to look up and their king's going to be coming back. And He's going to come back and He's going to destroy and defeat the enemies of God and of that little nation of Israel. And Jesus will take His place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and bring in a period, the Bible tells us, of 1,000 years of peace on the earth. And the earth is going to know for the first time what it is to have true peace and what it is to have a leader that will lead them in a way that blesses the nations, that blesses the individual. And at the end of that time, believe it or not, a final rebellion is going to erupt at the end of that 1,000 years of peace. But it's going to be put down. There's another assurance from God's Word. It's going to be put down. And then it's going to come about the new heavens and the new earth. You know, when the Bible talks about the new heavens, it's not talking about making heaven new. It's talking about the universe out there, the stars and the planets and all that out there that is so fascinating that God just spoke into existence. That and the earth is all going to be made new. And then there will be eternal peace. And God will take care of the future. And because God is sovereign, and because God is gracious and He loves sinners, and because God keeps His word, and because God can be trusted to right all wrongs in the future, we can say with those heavenly hosts, glory to God in the highest. Thank You, Lord, for that wonderful assurance we have. Glory to Your name. Thank You for that wonderful gift of Your Son, that we might be able to look forward to glories like this. Would you join me in prayer? Father, You have blessed this group of people before me in such a marvelous way because of the gift of salvation, because of Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love for sinners who do not deserve it. That's the kind of God You are. You're a God that's so hard to understand because, Lord, You are so different from us in so many important ways. You love those who don't love You. You give great sacrifices on behalf of those who don't love You. Lord, we're so thankful tonight as we come together as believers in the Lord Jesus, for that baby that was in the manger, for the Son of God who became a man and went to the cross. And Lord, we're so encouraged that even though He laid down His life there and poured out His blood and paid our ransom, that when He was laid in that tomb, He was there 3 days and He walked out alive. Didn't matter that the door was sealed with a stone, He walked out alive. And He left those grave clothes laying there. And Lord, it's so comforting to know that because You live, we know You're going to come back for us. Thank You, Lord, for this wonderful time of year when we think about what has been done, for what a gracious sacrificial gift of love was given when that baby was born and placed in that manger. We just have to say glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, that's our service tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas with your families. And I appreciate your fellowship so much. God bless you.